The baby has been pulled from the rubble 2 years earlier after her parents and five siblings. Listen to this. Do you think Adhab is not coming? Parents and five siblings were killed. Seven people you killed. You don't think Adhab of Allah is coming down?
Give me. Found it?
Good job. Here it is, folks. An Afghan couple who arrived in the U.S. as refugees are suing a U.S. Marine and his wife in federal court for allegedly abducting their baby girl. The baby has been pulled from the rubble 2 years earlier after her parents and five siblings. Listen to this. Do you think Adhab is not coming? Parents and five siblings. You want to move this over?
Here.
Parents and five siblings were killed. Seven people you killed. You don't think Adhab of Allah is coming down? And if it doesn't just come down, sometimes it comes in general. Unbelievable. Parents and five siblings were killed during a U.S. military raid, by the way, which they realized, oh, shoot, he's just passing by. He has nothing to do with terrorism. After months of treatment in a U.S. military hospital in Afghanistan, the girl who had gone to live with a newlywed Afghan couple identified by the International Committee of Red Cross, as her relatives. Okay. But unbeknownst to the couple, the court orders records say a U.S. Marine Corps attorney on temporary assignment in Afghanistan learned of the baby while she was still in the hospital. With his wife back home in Virginia, he felt compelled to adopt the Afghan baby. Why? So he could raise it on the Christian faith. So that's where I thought to myself, well, the guy, he feels bad. No problem, right? He feels bad. He's a bit overzealous. He feels so guilty of what he did. And at the end, and then it the plot twist, this is all about raising her on the Christian faith. I'm telling you, the right, they're crusaders. We got Qom Lut on the edges, in the middle, they're crusaders, right? If you go deep into them, they're hardcore Zionists and crusaders, okay? And they want nothing other than, like, we are not their friends. Not in any way, shape, and form are we their friends, okay? The little girl is now 3.5 years old. She finds herself at the center of high-stakes tangle of at least four court cases. The ordeal has drawn in the U.S. Departments of Defense, Justice, and State, which have previously argued that the attempt to spirit away a citizen of another country could significantly harm military and foreign relations. The U.S. Marines and federal officials did not comment. The Afghan family has asked the court to shield their identity out of concerns for their family back in Afghanistan. And they agreed to communicate with the Associated Press on condition of anonymity. While authorities were looking for her Afghan relatives, attorney Josh Mast, represented by his brother Richard Mast, told a Virginia State Circuit Court judge that the baby was a stateless war orphan. Okay. They assured the judge that Afghan President Ashraf Ghani himself was planning to sign a waiver of jurisdiction within days. How is she stateless war orphan when her relatives are right there in the court? Her relatives are in the court watching this proceeding. The state judge agreed and granted Josh and his wife custody, naming them as guardians on a birth certificate. That waiver never arrived, and Gunny's aide told AP earlier this month that there was no record of any discussion about this. They lied about this. There's no record of this discussion, they say. Further, he said such a request would have to go through the courts, not straight to the president. What is this? Right? Furthermore, Islamic law would prohibit handing over a Muslim baby to a non-Muslim family. There's no one in Afghanistan left that they could take care of this baby? Nonetheless, the documents have named her as the guardian. The Mast turned to a federal judge in Virginia to stop the U.S. government from handing over the baby. Okay, Justice Department attorney stepped in and said the state adoption was invalid. See, this is the thing. You can't just say America, right? Because the country is divided into different branches and different courts and different people. And some of them are extremely, and they're not all supporting each other. So here you got one guy, he's doing something terrible. He fooled one court by saying that it's just a matter of time before the President Ghani signs off on it. Then another court says, this is all nonsense. It's invalid. So that's why when you have a country that's so big, you can't just lump it all as, you know, as one. Now, the Afghan couple, in other words, the relatives that are coming to say that we're the rightful for guardians of this baby, they had no idea what's happening in the U.S. courts. They wept with joy when they met their seven-month-old baby. We didn't think she would come back to her family alive, the young Afghan man said. It was the best day of our lives. Now, over the next 2 years, the Afghan couple say, they settled in as a family and raised the baby in a Muslim and Afghan culture. The woman, who speaks three languages, including English, she's not some fool that's Afghan, as if it's the girl in the picture. You know that girl in the 1980s picture with the orange scarf and the green eyes? And she's like freaked out, right? They put this portrait up so many times. People hear the word Afghan and they think some illiterate farmer somewhere. People aren't idiots. Okay? So she says, the husband was working in a medical office. We had such fond memories the time we adopted this, or we took in this baby. She loved showing off her new clothes, loved getting henna on her hands, blah, blah, blah. We did makeup, we brushed hair, right? And she tried to do it for me, I do it for her. You know, women stuff. Though the baby remained in Afghanistan, Josh and Stephanie Mast had given the growing toddler a Western name in a U.S. state court, according to court records. They finalized the adoption, enrolled her in the Defense Department's healthcare system, and scheduled an appointment with doctors. Mast kept in touch with the Afghan couple, offering to bring their child to the U.S. for medical care. So initially, they went with the cousins. Then Mast says, let's take this baby. He adopted her in the courts on paper. Then he said, let's take the baby for medical care. Now the couple said, this is too much of a journey, right? But last summer, okay, the U.S. started withdrawing out of Afghanistan. Amid erupting violence and instability, Mast offered to get the couple and their little girl evacuated to the U.S. So this, he's talking to them, which completely negates his stateless child of war theory, claim. How's she stateless? Child of war. That means in the middle of a battlefield, you see a baby, right? And there's no one else in sight. That's a stateless child of war. He's talking to them. He says, we'll pay for the whole trip. You all three of you come. It's a ruse. Okay. And we'll give the girl her medical attention. And they're like, okay, great. So the exhausted Afghan family arrived at the airport in Washington, D.C. Right. They alleged in court filings, Mast pulled them out of international arrivals, okay, and led them into an inspection office. They were surprised when Mast presented an Afghan passport for the child, but it was the last name printed on the document that stopped them cold. The last name was Mast. They didn't know it, but that would be the last time they see their baby. It's a straight kidnapping. Just a few days later, okay, the Afghan couple was then, you know, ushered to a hotel and said, oh, you're going to get your baby in a second. They're never going to see this baby again. Or, well, hopefully the court will change that. They began the resettlement process. Oh, they're resettling permanently. I didn't realize that. They alleged that Mast confronted them, took the girl that was 2.5 years old, and drove off. The Mast insists in court documents that they are her legal parents, and they try to protect her. What? So you just... They've asked a judge to dismiss the lawsuit, claiming the Afghan couple are not her lawful parents. Mast's attorney cast doubt on whether the Afghans were even related. But the Afghan couple is not giving up. After they took her, our tears never stopped, the woman said. Right now, we are just dead bodies. Our hearts are broken. He should be executed, him and his wife, okay, for doing this. We have no plans for a future without her. Food has no taste. Sleep gives us no rest. Unreal. Unreal. Let's see another article about this. It's a straight abduction. What are the comments, Rye, on Instagram and Facebook and all that? Give us some comments.
Chief Latif's asking if kidnapping the girl back would be allowed.
Of course, it's not kidnapping. That's your rightful property. Not property, but it's your rightful child. It's not kidnapping. The word kidnapping is the wrong word. There's no kidnapping here. That is your kid. That's yours. And if someone steals a $500 of mine, and I go snatch it back, put my hand in his pocket and take it back, it's not theft. It's my rightful property. In this case, it's a rightful their daughter.
It's such a weird situation because, like, you're bringing immigrants over
to the
country. They don't know, like, they don't know anything.
They don't know anything.
Like, they're nothing. The lion's den.
Total lion's den. I mean, if you ask me about court proceedings here, it's the biggest headache. Just to expel a tenant. By the way, I'm at war with these tenants. They have stunk up the place with this. They're cooking, and they don't put on fans. They don't open the windows, and we're going to smoke them out. I'm smoking them all out, right? I'm going to put pukur every single day until this space starts to smell good because what they've done. They don't open windows when they cook. They don't have any concept of any smoke, like bukhur. They have no concept of that. And I'm suffering. We're all suffering. So it's war. I'm going to smoke them out. It's me versus them. And we'll see in 2 weeks, we're going to change the whole smell of this place. Oh, it's the same exact AP article that we just read. All right. Afghan couple claims Marine abducted their baby in U.S. pullout. This is New York Post, which is a joke of a paper. But let's just see what they have to say. Yeah. They took a baby. They left tanks. A Marine who helped an Afghan couple bring a young girl to America for medical care has been accused of abducting the child. In a lawsuit filed last month, the couple alleged Marine Corps attorney Josh Mast gave officials an Afghan passport for the girl that bore his own last name when they arrived into Washington in August of 2021. But look how long it takes. This happened in August 2021. It's just hitting the media now, and the case is going to be probably like 2 years. They're going to be gray-haired by the time this is done. And half their life is gone. 5 days after they arrived on U.S. soil, Mast returned with custody papers he'd been granted, right, years earlier. So he lied on papers. So the court said, okay, well, you're a military guy, probably telling the truth. Gave him the paper on name. And Stephanie Mast is his daughter, his wife. She's a co-conspirator in this. She also should be punished. False and things that have to do with cruelty to babies and kids, I find it much, you're much more guilty in my view if you're a woman. Like, your heart should be much softer. Like, can you imagine if this happened to you? Like, a guy, fine, his heart is hard. Especially a military guy. He's got a hard heart. But you're a mother, too. Or you're a woman, too, who understands, like what a mother would care, would feel. The girl is now 3.5 years old, has been at the center of several lawsuits. Okay. And she was supposedly rescued after U.S. forces killed her parents and 5 siblings. What are you else going to do to this girl? Right? She's going to grow up to, if she grows up, continues in this case, in this life, right? Who knows how she's going to turn out? You killed 7. You have a family of 8. You killed 7. And then you kidnap her from her family. And then you wonder why people have mental issues. Following the tragedy, the orphan, 2 months, she was 2 months at the time. She was rushed to a medical facility in Afghanistan on American military, you know, at a base, U.S. embassy in Kabul, then met with representatives from the Red Cross and the Afghan government and the American military, all headed by Mast, like he's heading all these meetings. And they came to the agreement that the U.S. should do everything possible, right? And they should bring this family to America to get medical treatment and have a new life. We killed 7 of their family. But in the beginning, though, the U.S. government and the Red Cross said, wait a second, what's your business? That's in the beginning. They said, what's your business? She has a family here. She has cousins and relatives. He then went and got U.S. papers saying that he's the actual rightful guardian and he's adopting her. And he said, this is an act of Christian faith. All right. And he went off to appeal to high-ranking Trump administration officials to ensure that the adoption went through. He became obsessed, essentially. Go adopt someone else.
I think there's something wrong with the couple.
Yeah, the couple's messed up in the head.
They're like, can't have a baby or something. 1,000%,
that's part of it. Yeah. And they must be part of some cuckoo church.
Yeah.
You know there's a lot of cuckoo churches out there. Yeah. A lot.
There's like 5 million churches just in general.
So the mass claimed that the child's father killed his family by detonating a suicide vest, whereas records show the opposite. So the mass claimed that the guy was a terrorist who blew themselves up. Okay? Whereas records show the girl's parents were innocent farmers and they were casualties of a U.S. attack. They were civilians. The Virginia custody order was granted after the mass claimed the Afghan government intended to waive jurisdiction over the child. So the Virginia custody order, okay, said that, okay, khalas, there's no custody over the child, so whoever takes her gets it. First, finders keepers. Then when this paper reached higher government courts, they said, no, it's not that easy. It's not finders keepers here. They rejected it. The Red Cross then is involved. They found the child's cousin, which is the man, and his wife. And they decided this is their rightful family. And that's when they reunited the 8-month-old with them in Afghanistan. So Mast, he's playing this paperwork game in America. Red Cross is like, what is it? Their cousins are right there. Give them to the cousins. Okay. Then Mast was worried that the child may be in an objectively dangerous situation. This is some kind of white man's burden nonsense, right? This is white man's burden stuff. Like, I got to take this baby away and raise her properly, right? On the baby's second birthday, a phone call was facilitated between the couple and Mast. He warned them, if the child didn't receive medical attention in the U.S., she could become blind, brain damaged, and permanently disabled. The Afghan man now raising her had worked in the medical field, and he did not think her burn scars, leg injury, and any allergic reaction were as threatening as Mast described. So the couple declined to send her over. Like, hung up on his face, basically.
Who afflicted that?
Like, exactly. You guys afflicted it. You should be paying them.
Yeah.
Dia. Later that summer, the Taliban seized power. Mast contacted the couple again and said, bring the baby, and this time you can come with them. They said, all right, we'll get a better life in America. Let's go. While at a stopover in Germany, the Mast tried to get the couple to allow the baby to travel separately 3 times. Okay, and the Afghan couple alleged this in the lawsuit. Okay. When they arrived in Washington, D.C., Mast took out an Afghan passport that contained a photo of the child and his own last name. A woman who called herself a social worker arrived and informed the couple that the Masts were the legal guardians. This is some, like, rejecting what you see nonsense that's now a norm. Like, your eyes see something right away, right in front of you, and just because it's on paper, what's heavier, what your eyes see or what's on a piece of paper? So so the child was taken out of the car and placed into Mast's car where his wife was waiting. In response to the lawsuit, the Mast acknowledged they took custody of the child, but say that their adoption order from Virginia was valid, although a higher court had invalidated it, rendering it to be abduction. This Afghan couple is now living in Texas, and they've asked the judge in Virginia to reverse the adoption. Man, we need to get it to the bottom of this. May Allah Ta'ala really give this couple what they deserved. Both of them. They got to get their baby back, but they also, subhanAllah, have to... This family has to be punished big time. It's like completely unacceptable.
I wonder how many other cases there are of this in like war.
Oh, I mean, I'm sure it happens all the time.
That are like swept under the
rug. I'm sure it happens all the time.
And then they wonder why people become like radical.
Oh, you wonder why people get radical. You wonder why people hate your country and hate you and want to see all these punishments inflicted upon you. You wonder why. But you kill 7 and kidnap 1. Like, seriously.
It's totally a crime.
What the heck? These Afghan people, how do they survive mentally? Like, if I had a family of 20, right? If I had a family of 20, which is like, my family's 4, another family's 4, another family's like 8, and then 7 of us get eliminated in one moment, we'd all be like seeing, I need to talk to a sheikh, I need to talk to a therapist. Like, my mind would be like spinning. If one of us lost one relative in the middle of their life, that could put you in a tailspin for a couple years. If you're not like grounded and Allah help, you need Allah's help. But it's really absurd.
I knew someone that lost their father when they were like 14.
Yeah.
Until this day, like, they still like, it's fresh. Like, it just happened like yesterday.
SubhanAllah.
That's how they speak of it. I'm like, wow.
Wow, SubhanAllah. I truly, honestly only believe intensive dhikr is the only thing that will purify your heart from the long-lasting scars that will damage your life.